Okay. All right, man. Here we are again. Always good to be with you. Always good to see you guys. Disk space remains. What is this shit? What? Why is there new things to deal with? All right. How are you? Welcome to our wonderful accomplishment of a show here. Now, let's see. What's new to report? not much. I got the fan on. If you hear the, anytime you hear that noise, it's me. Not a whole lot. Got my iced coffee. This is my new thing, iced coffee. It's not my new thing, but it's my new thing when I work. Now, it's like, I ain't fucking with anything. I want everything to be fucking perfect, you know? My working conditions, the show that I do, I want to enjoy before anybody else. I want to enjoy it. I want to be drinking only that which I approve of, and what else? Probably the only thing that I deprive myself of. No, I don't really give a shit that I don't have tobacco anymore. Not in the totality. There are times when I miss smoking, but I don't really give that much of a shit. And I went and saw my brother. As you guys know, my brother's sick. Let me see something here, Matt. Get the fucking chair. Okay. Saw Dara, and when you see someone who you have grown up with, who's been your brother, he's my big brother. Dara's 9 years older than me. By the time he went into the Navy, I was still just a little kid. I was 9 years old. You know, I was 9 years old. My brother, I always credit with having turned me on to really to rock and roll, to music. Not that I hadn't listened to it before. I heard it on the radio, but he left all of his records. He left his 45s before he went into the Navy. So I heard the Platters. I heard, trying to think of the records. You name it, man. I mean, the Del Vikings, Coasters, the Drifters. I heard... He didn't have a whole lot of Elvis. He had a little bit of Elvis. But Dara was a R&B and kind of a torch singer fan, man. So he had things like, you know, Smoke Gets in Your Eyes by the Platters and Stand By Me by the Drifters. And he had some of the cool shit from the Coasters. He had Del Vikings' Whispering Bells and Come Go With Me and all that. Because that was his time. You know, he was turned 18 in 1961. So really the late... you know, everything from the mid-50s on was his time. And I saw him there, man. He's laying in a hospital bed. He's getting better. But it's slow going. It's rough going for him. But I can see he's a fighter because he's always been a tough guy. See what I want about Dara? You know, we've had our ups and our downs, but he's a fucking fighter, man. And... Christ, I swear to God, when I first saw him, I was sure he was gone, man. You know, I mean, I couldn't see how anybody's going to come back from the shit that he was fighting through, man. They had him on steroids. He was puffed out. He had a tube down his throat. He was all fucked up, you know. When I saw him last time, they put a trach in him, and he was conscious. He was looking at me. He was trying to mouth something to me. I don't know what he was saying, but I remember asking, is he getting hydrated, you know? And the nurse said, yes, he's got a drip here. But they had a sponge on a stick. I don't know if you've ever seen it. It almost looks like a popsicle stick. And on the end of it, instead of the popsicle, is a small sponge. And they had it in water. And I got a fresh cup of water, and I put that in his mouth. And, man, he sucked on that sponge like just his mouth was dry. You know, he just wanted to get some moisture into his mouth. And so I... spend a fair amount of time, you know, sponging out my brother's mouth. And I'll tell you something, I don't know how to say this, but life, man, comes in stages. You got to be ready for all of them. And everybody thinks that they will be. Everybody thinks that there's enough time to get ready. Well, there is, but there only is if you really get it, you know, if you get it about time. Most of us don't get what time is. We think it's just the ticking of a clock. No, no fucking way, man. You got to understand that time is relative. You know, for instance, if you're 10 years old, One half of your life is 5 years. So 5 fucking years is huge. That's one half of your life, man. 5 years. To a little 10-year-old kid, he looks back to when he was five, and it was like a long goddamn time ago. To you or to me, especially to me, if you're younger than me, 5 years ain't shit. 5 years was fucking 5 years, 2010. A lot has happened in my life in that time, but it's the fucking blink of an eye. What's the difference? Difference is, I got a larger block of time that I'm dealing with. 5 fucking years ain't shit, you know? You say to me, well, sure it is, Phil. Well, you watch, because 5 years will, pretty soon, it'll be gone. And everybody says the same thing. You say, oh, you mean we say that we'll have enough time? No, no, there's two things that everybody says. Every motherfucker says, I don't care how old you are, you're going to say these two things. You're going to say, I got plenty of time. And you'll say, the second thing you'll say is, where the fuck did the time go? You will say that. I'm not saying that it's an if or a maybe. It will happen. It'll happen. And are you saying that my life, Phil, is going to be a fucking big flood? I can tell you, I know the people that I meet in life who are destined for that eventuality. Those are the people who confidently say, I ain't going to do it the way other people did it. I'm going to do it better. You watch. I know that motherfucker is headed for a fall. That motherfucker is, I swear to God, every motherfucker that ever said that fell on his fucking face. I think you got to be humbled in the face of life. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying that you can't have plans. I'm not saying that you can't be confident. And I'm certainly not saying that you can't have success in your life. I'm not saying that. But if you disrespect time and life so much that you say, that ain't going to happen to me, then you don't get it. You don't get it. You just don't get it. And you're like a fucking, I don't know, you're like one of those animals at the fucking pond there in the jungle as the lion comes out of the forest and he leaps on you in the middle of the Serengeti, and next thing you know, you're fucking prey. Well, you're life's prey. You're the prey of time because you did not respect the environment. You know, anybody that doesn't respect where they are in the environment, like if you're in a really wild environment, you're in the jungle, you're in the fucking desert, you have confidence you're going to get through. There's no question you have confidence you'll get through. If I do the right things, I can get through here. But if you walk through there like your shit doesn't stink, like I know what I'm going to do, you ain't even fucking been there, man. How can you say, here's what I'm going to fucking do, when you haven't even fucking been? You haven't even experienced the terrain. You haven't even experienced the what kind of predators lurk. You know, what's the temperature like? You know, where's the water? Where's the, you know, you have no fucking idea what you're talking about because you've never been there. And yet you're saying, I confidently will do better than these other people did. How the fuck do you know, man? You've never even been down that road yet, you know, because it's different for everybody. It's different for everybody. It's the same in that there's aging. And there's questions of survival, and there's questions of life's meanings, you know, and there's questions of love and family. All of those things are similar, but your path through that, man, is entirely yours. And it will be something that you didn't quite expect. All I'm saying is, I'm not saying that life is gonna, you know, kill you. I'm just saying you have to be humbled in the face of it, and you have to respect it. You have to respect, like you would respect, like any smart sojourner, wherever they're going, respects the, you know, the environment. They respect the space. They respect the danger of the environment, you know. And if you do that, you got a good chance of surviving. But these are all things that I've I don't think you can really, you know, you can't. I suppose you could prepare it insofar as you can be, you know, as humble as you can be. Because that's a really important word. It's a word that I'm learning a lot about at this point in my life. Humility is like everything. And it's not exactly what you may think it is. It's not groveling. It's not, shuffling your Buster Browns in the dust. You know, I think humility is paying more attention to other people than to yourself. You say, well, what good is that going to do me? It keeps you connected to who you are. What good is that going to do me? It's going to bring out the best in you. And that helps you relate to everybody. No matter who, you're going to have a commonality. You're going to have a thread of connection to everyone if you stay humble. Then you stay connected to yourself and to the world. But if you don't, you lose track of the world. And the next thing you know, something comes up and you didn't see it coming. Because your ass was all about you. It wasn't about anything else. Pride comes before the fall. I just thought, I hadn't never really connected the phrase, which is one of the famous sayings of all time, with what I'm talking about. That's what it is. Pride comes before the fall. All right, so anyway, there I am with my brother Dara, and bless his heart, he's struggling, man. He's struggling to overcome a lot of shit, and he wants to overcome a lot of shit. You know, he wants to overcome all the mistakes that he made, man. He wants to overcome all of that cigarette smoking that he did. He fucked his lungs up. He wants to overcome all that shitty fucking eating that gave him diabetes. He wants to overcome all the sloppy fucking habits that got him even sicker than he was. He wants to overcome all of his, I don't know, you know, just mistakes, man. And the question is there going to be time? And I can see him fighting, you know, to extend that time. By modern standards, the way some people are fucking kicking in, you know, these days, Dara's 72. The cat, especially with our genes, because my mother lived to be 93. I mean, we've got some pretty decent genes in terms of old age if we can take care of ourselves. My father had strokes, and he was just a wreck, you know. But my dad was full of fucking hypertension and crazy, insane, you know, shit, you know. And we got to kind of climb over that fucking barrier to get to where we need to be here in the old Hendry family. But by any standard today in terms of modern medicine, you know, Dara should have a few more years in him than he's got. And, you know, hopefully he'll get those. Because I can see him, and my sister Joanne told me that he was talking about all the things he wants to do once he gets out of the hospital. And thinking, God damn it, I hope so, man. But you know what, man? You got to really figure this shit out. You know, you really have to be prepared to make some serious fucking, I don't even say make some changes. Fuck that. You got to be prepared to climb some fucking mountains. That's all. I don't know whether they're changes or not. I'm not about to say. I don't know. I'm fucking living his life. But you do have to be prepared to climb a few mountains, you know. So, and I'm only saying that out of that little, like I say, sliver of fucking experience that I have. But seeing my brother laying there, I mean, we wrestled when we were kids. You know, I remember when he was a strapping, healthy young man. I remember him and his girlfriends. I remember the, you know, Dara as a 30-year-old man, you know, pursuing an acting career. I remember him as a, you know, I remember him and his during his struggles, you know. And then, now there he was, you know, this guy that's weaker and older, much older, man, and gray-haired. You know, but funny thing about Dara is he's still a good looking guy. You know, he's lost all of his fucking hair. He's finally caught up to me in the bald area, because he always had more hair than me. But I'm not gonna say anything other than what I'm gonna say now, which is the following thing. You know, it doesn't have to fucking concern you. You know, it really doesn't. But knowing what I knew now, it's like terrain that nobody's ever traversed before. And I think one of the biggest mistakes that people make is they say, let me tell you how it's going to be. Well, they don't fucking know how it's going to be for this guy or this guy or that guy. There's only a few areas of commonality. There's only a few areas where that all human beings share when it comes to life's journey. Our need for love, our need for food, our need for socialization, our need for pleasure, our need for, you know, certain basic things. But how we experience that is completely fucking different. Nobody can get you ready for it, man. Nobody can get you fucking ready for it. All you can do is say, I know it's going to be this way. I know it's going to be that way. I know I'm going to be tough. You know, you have to be humble in the face of it. You know, you have to be humble in the face of it. Nobody goes into a fight with an opponent they don't know anything about, with and hope to win that fight with arrogance and bravado based on what? You should approach life, especially as you get older, and I'm talking really now about those years where you're still going to be alive, you're going to be healthy, but you're going to be older, man, and life starts to take things away from you. People don't respect you as much. You know, it's a fact. I'm not feeling sorry for myself. I mean, that's a fact. It's actually one of the more stale realities of life. You know, somebody dissing you because of your age. I could give a fuck. I mean, what I do with that is I take a look at who exactly it is that's saying it to me. Nine times out of ten, it's some fucking somebody whose life condition is not all that boogie woogie anyway. But what I'm trying to say is, you can't approach that the way we all did, the way I did as a kid, where I'd look at it and go, oh, that ain't going to happen to me. You watch, man. I'm going to be fucking bucks. I'm going to have this. I'm going to have that. I'm going to have this shit going on. I'm going to have that shit going on. I'm not going to make this mistake. How the fuck did I know, man? I don't know. That's like me walking into a cage with a fucking lion and saying, oh, I'm going to have the thing eating milk out of a fucking saucer before you know it. Bullshit. You're going to wind up getting your fucking ass gnawed off by that thing. Unless you open your fucking eyes, okay? All right.
That's Phil's little speech. Hope you enjoyed it. No, you didn't, but I know.
All right. China's shares rise among sharp volatility. China ought to just get their fucking hands off of this stuff. Ted Cruz and Megyn Kelly tangle over. Look at this. Fox and the right wing is suddenly at odds. Fox News and the right wing. I'm laughing my fucking ass off. I bet you they thought that this was going to be. I think what it is Fox's candidate is Rand Paul, and he's getting his fucking ass handed to him. All right, let's see. CNN blows off Anderson Cooper's Katrina anniversary special for Trump. Now, has been moved to tomorrow. Well, whatever. You know, I don't. I wouldn't call that blowing it off. What is this, man? Now, I got to figure out who our right winger is to deal with all of this insidious insanity. We have left here on our pre-show. Okay, 8 minutes. Yeah, we're just looking at setting up some sound effects for those of you listening to our pre-show. Those of you listening to our pre-show, probably, I don't know how many of you there are, but, all right. crickets.
Cricket.
What I'm doing now, for those of you on audio, listening on audio, I edit a lot of fucking dead air out of the, because this is a prep period. It's not designed, you know, it's not designed to be an entertainment. You know, it's show prep. It's letting you in on the show prep. The fact that I'm even addressing you at all, you should consider yourselves fucking lucky. I'm kidding. Well, sort of, but not that much. You know, because really, I got other things I should be doing besides fucking jawjacking this shit with you. Okay? So just fucking remember this stuff, all right? Oh, okay, then I just won't listen to you. You don't have to listen anymore. By the way, I'm this close to making a major announcement about the Milwaukee Lion 2015 season. Very close. I don't know yet, but there's a couple of things we have to check. We may cover the Milwaukee Lions for the 2015 season with Jack Eichagder and the rest of the crew, but there's got to be a little, few things we have to do before we do that. Got to check, we have to check the lines, check the landlines, make sure we have adequate link up to Blitherton Stadium there in whatever the fuck the name of that stadium is in Milwaukee. So, or maybe they've built a new stadium. I don't know. No, it's Blitherton Field. It was the Portland Stadium, the something Memorial Stadium in Milwaukee. This is outdoors. That's an outdoor car. I don't need that. Well, maybe I do. But the thing I really want to get to is Phonebed Carnival. All right. Now, did we already print that, Katrina? Did we print it? No, wait, but should we fucking money? No, we did not print that fucking bitch. All right? Now, what I'm looking for here is, I'm looking for, I'm looking. Oh, yeah, my conservative, my boy here, my conservative, my goddamned, wait, did we, all righty. What am I doing? Look at my conservative. Reverend Dave Castorini, Ron Turner, Dr. Jim Sadler, Vernon Dozier, R.C. Collins, Justin McElroy, General Galen Shaw. Justin McElroy, is a smart-ass little motherfucker, but I don't know if he's a, Father James Lloyd Bonafide, Lloyd...
yes, Phil. Thank you very much.
Now, you know.
Let me do what I do. You do what you do. I'll do what I do. You do what you do.
Now, we can try to figure out what it is you do. Jack Armstrong, Gloria Grover, Jerry Arcariego, Jay Santos, Rudy Canoza, Rudy, August Hosen, Dave Oliva, Herb Sewell, Brass Villanueva, Steve Bozell, Kurt Queedy, Guy Barton, Ted Bell. Ted Bell is a good conservative. Bobby Dooley, Margaret Gray, Mavis Leonard, Pastor William, Clara Bingham, Reverend Yates Pastorini, Ron Turner. Shit. Ted Bell. That could be a good one.
Republican Party to tell its members they have ignored Black America for far too long. Dr. Ben Carson is a Republican candidate for president. Dr. Carson, thank you for being here. And whoa, way to lay it out. I mean, we have been talking for months on this show.
Are you a fucking
about how some believe two black have turned and said, stop. Don't act as victims. And don't look squarely at the police. It's not that, it's not that there's no police brutality, but there is a major...
Oh, shut the fuck up, you fucking whore. God damn, I can't stand that fucking bitch. If there's one thing that Trump's doing, but I like, even though Trump... I can't stand any of these right-wing motherfuckers with their whole fucking speech about what black people ought to do. Fuck you, bitch. The fuck does this fucking cunt know about being black? She's got Ben Carson on there. All right, that's one guy, one black guy, okay? And what they do is they cherry-pick the fucking black people to back up their point of view, which is, you fucking black folks out there, quit being victims. Fuck you, bitch. Motherfucker, you got blonde fucking hair, white motherfucking skin, blue fucking eyes. Who the fuck are you? Well, I got my black guy here. Get the black guy. So, you get your black guy. Now, the left has black guys, too, but those guys are bad leaders. You take a look at fucking history, all right? We're not saying that there's police brutality, but it's funny how you've changed your fucking tune on that. All of a sudden, you're saying, well, we're not saying that there isn't. So, all of a sudden, you're kind of inching your way over there, so long as you've got some other safety net. And that motherfucking Ben Carson, this fucking guy, you know, I look at his face, and I can see a guy... That's basically saying the following thing. Yeah, I'll use you, you fucking dumb cunt. I'll go ahead and use you until I can't fucking stand. Just like Colin Powell. Remember when Colin Powell was the fair-haired guy of the... I say that with all due respect and with, you know, tongue-in-cheek. Remember when Colin Powell was the fair-haired guy of the left or the right wing? Until finally he just came right out and said, you know, there's a lot of motherfucking racism in this country. Now all of a sudden nobody liked Colin Powell anymore. Colin Powell was a dupe. The fuck? Where does some fucking white bitch like this get off talking about what the black folks ought to do? Why don't you listen to Mama Kelly now? She'll let you know all about what you fucked up and how you ought to be better. No, I'm not. I have my Negro. You know, you feel empowered to say that shit, bitch, because you do have your black guy there. If he wasn't there, why don't you go ahead and give your fucking speech? Oh, fuck.
Inner city America right now, that in too many...
Inner city. That's where all the black folks live, inner city America. You mean all the suburban black people and the middle class black people, they live and they think the way you do, right, Megan?
...circles has been ignored.
Fuck you. Ugh. Maybe that fucking guy Trump's got a point. I don't know. Trump's about as fucking stupid as it comes when it comes to that shit anyway. All right. That's it. That's my speech for today. I don't give a shit.
Let me tell you, Phil, Megyn Kelly, oh, man, oh, I cannot stand it, you know, and I listen to that bitch, I listen to that woman, and Megyn Kelly, my wife likes to watch that Megyn Kelly, she thinks she's all that. Megyn Kelly is a mentally deformed human being. I don't know what you...
Bobby Dooley and Professor Emery Clayton will debate Megyn Kelly. Just Megyn fucking Kelly. You know, what's she about? What's she... there's Elizabeth Banks, who is fantastic. All right. All right, here we go. You ready? Because I sure as fuck ain't. God damn, that shit hacks me the fuck off, motherfucker. Why don't you fuck the fuck... Oh, yo. Oh... Where the hell is the... You know, what the fuck is going on around here, man? Where is my thing, dude? Alex, I hope you feel better too, man. Alex has been a little under the weather. Here, I gotta do something here, man. Hold on for a fucking minute. It's okay, because... What? What was that, man? Wait a minute. No, do not save. Okay, I'm gonna do this. Copy, bitch. Now do this. Oh, fuck. And I think that he is at L.A. Canyon College where they're doing water drops because of the fucking fires and shit. All right, let's go. Show open. Bob Bacon. Harvey Wireman news break. Debate. Emery Clayton. Bobby Dooley. And then we're going to do, what was that fucking thing? Oh, a new feature with, I don't know what this guy's name should be.
Hey, I'm doing good, Mr. Hemby. Hey, I'm doing real good, Mr. Hemby. I'm grateful you have me on your program today, and I hope I can do a good job.
I know you will.
Well, it's great to have you, Toby.
Toby Bow. Friend of Jeff Dowder's. And Toby lost his tongue. He bit his own tongue in half surfing. You know, he came off a fucking wave one day and just lost his board and the board, you know, and he just bit his tongue and it just came flying out of his mouth. All right, here we go. That's the way I want it to be. That's what it is going to be. And I don't give a fuck. Here we go.